Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to episode 263 of the Maritime Paintball Podcast. My name is Brad O'Dell, and I have a fantastic show lined up. I have fantastic beer and a fantastic show lined up. It's going to be great. So, as some of you, or most of you may know, we're going to be talking all sorts of first strike stuff, because I have the fantastic Ben Larson on to talk about things. He's here to answer some questions, talk about some stuff, and tell you, no, the drum mag is not ready, and that you need to be patient. So, without further stalling, allow me to introduce Ben. You're here. That's phenomenal. You made it. Perfect. Excellent. I love it. Let's talk. Okay, so first, let's tell everybody maybe at home. Well, besides your name, but like, who are you? What do you do? You've been on the show before. Oh, hold on. Something's gone awry. Already. It's not hard.
I'll hold.
There.
Good?
That's better. Now we're all good.
All right. So like, as I was saying, was a couple states ago, I was in Phoenix last time we spoke. Mm. Now I'm back up at the home office here in Chicago, Illinois. For those guys that don't know or haven't seen me, I'm more or less the general manager of the First Strike brand under the UTS umbrella, corporate umbrella. So I've been in around paintball now since 1997, somewhere in there is when I started playing as a high school kid, and played club paintball at Michigan State and got a job right out of school, and the rest has been history. I've been in paintball ever since. So
you've been in paintball longer than some players have been alive.
I don't like to think of it that way because that makes me feel really old.
Oh, come on.
But I've been in there in and around, you know, played both sides of paintball, been, you know, a regular sales guy, you know, helped with the marketing, you know, doing a tournament paintball, running the semi trailers at MPPLs and PSP of yesteryear, you know, down to, you know, now I'm in, you know, it's pretty full-time mag fed here at First Strike. So
you don't say.
We're all in on MagFed. Obviously.
You kind of are like becoming the MagFed name, right? For a while it was you know, there was Mil Sig and there was Rap 4 and then MCS and First Strike. Well, I guess Tiberius back in the day.
Yeah.
Now it's like, I don't know, it's narrowing down. It's like First Strike seems to be just like the MagFed company.
Yeah, well, you know, obviously when I came aboard, it was, I was actually out of paintball for a couple of years. And the CEO at the time of UTS called me and asked me to come help with, at the time, Tiberius Arms, under this new corporate umbrella. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know much about MagFed. And, so I took a little time to learn about it, and, you know, it was much different than what I was accustomed to on the other side of paintball. And actually, it was pretty refreshing from the new user standpoint. It's much more, you know, what I tell people when I have to explain MagFed, it's what paintball is in your mind before you ever play.
Oh, that's a really good way to put it.
Yeah, it delivers the experience that you're expecting when you go play paintball for the first time. And what happens typically with renters and even guys who get into tournament paintball, they find that other avenue and enjoy it just as much. But it wasn't actually what they thought it was going to be that first time, dressing up in camo and going out and playing, you know, army. So MagFed really delivers that experience. And I think, obviously, first game or first person shooters and that type of video game, now, you know, people are looking to get back into that. And tournament paintball has done its own thing, and it's its own animal, but it doesn't, you know, MagFed guys for sure are experience driven players. You know, they would rather have unique experiences throughout the day than play on the same field 10 times, you know? So, and that's the hard part, right? Cause you know, MacFed guys, they do want new, more often. And that was where I saw the opportunity is there wasn't really anyone focusing on MacFed. So, seeing that it was a growth sector and seeing that it was under, capitalized and under, didn't get enough focus from the industry, I thought it was going to be a pretty interesting niche to go after, which has proved to be the case. And now you're seeing big guys like Planet and, you know, others, you know, Tippmann have jumped into the market and, you know, not saying they weren't in the market in the first place with like TipXs and stuff like that, but you know, they're identifying that the customer is, it's not a flash in the pan. It's a long-term play and, absolutely, and MacFed guys are around to stay. The challenge for those, you know, obviously for the paint guys is we MacFed players don't consume. They're not consumers from a projectile standpoint. You know, there's guys who can go out and play with 100 rounds for a day, and that certainly hurts some of that business. So that was a little bit of fear of endorsing MacFed, obviously, when you wanted players to shoot a lot. And, you know, MacFed's not, you know, it's kind of like the pump guys, you know, they want to go out and play and they can play all day and not have to spend, have to refinance their house to go out and play. So,
yeah, it really, and you made a couple of really good points there was like, I mean, Tippmann's always been in the woods ball scene. They've always been like, mm-hmm. I'm surprised that they didn't run MacFed stuff sooner. Mm-hmm. I guess the SMG 68 kind of counts sort of, but
yeah, I mean, there was a lot of stuff in that way back in the day that nibbled at MacFed, but that didn't quite, wasn't widely accepted. You know, the Tiberius guys, you know, I look at them and they were years ahead of their time. You know, if they were just 10 years later to the game, they would have had a much easier entry into the market.
Absolutely. But, yeah, they kicked it off, right? They booted the door in and they struggled. You know, I seen the love and the hate that the pistol got, T8 and then the T9 and the T9.1.
Yep.
But they brought us the glorious first strike. So
it's certainly an interesting product that is right now. You know, we have the market capped and that's nice. That's a good position. Obviously there was a lot of money spent to develop that product and it's a cool product and we love that we have it. But you know, we still focus on a lot of the other stuff, you know, a lot of launcher sales, a lot of accessory sales, and you know, we want to try to cater the best we can to the MacFed community, but also understand that, you know, we can't be everything to everyone and need to focus on our expertise. So, it's a tough thing to balance to try not to be everything to everyone. You know, in a former life at some of the other paintball companies, that's where you struggle. The big guys really struggle because you're defending on all fronts, and, you know, a little guy like First Strike can come along and just pick a niche and drive hard into it and penetrate that business pretty well. So
yeah, you guys have kind of backed yourselves into the corner or anything, but kind of like put your back against the ocean. You know what I mean? Like you've got, you know, it's, you're in a good spot. You're in a good spot. You can hold off the competition pretty well.
Obviously there's guys coming, you know, and we recognize that. So, but again,
competition's,
you know, another
not bad.
Thing that, it's not bad. You know, every time that one of the big guys released a MacFed product, it only further legitimized MacFed, right? And it made it easier for us to sell product when they did that, right? Because before it was just us trying to sell to everyone and the dealers were a little apprehensive to jump in on MacFed. And, you know, Tippmann releases the TMC and they go, oh, okay, you know, maybe that's, we sold a handful of those, so let's bring in some of your product. And then, you know, we saw the same blip as soon as Planet debuted a MacFed gun and stores that weren't carrying TMCs go, I better start carrying some TMCs and some First Strike product. And
that was a big thing from when Planet, you know, Eclipse was like, okay, we're going to give MacFed a chance. that was, I think, a big signal to a lot of people who are still holding out, saying, no, no, Megfed is just this 15-year phase. You know,
it further legitimized the whole category, which helped us. Again, it all helps, right? So, you know, we obviously have worked with, you know, Planet on some stuff. You can see that, you know, our logo's on the box, and we sent them test rounds to make sure everything was working good long before they launched. And we talked to them, you know, on a monthly basis, and we're more than willing to help. And that was one of the, you know, it was very much a us versus them when we first got here. But you know, we're all for everyone being successful, because paintball today is much smaller than it was. And we know we need everyone going in the same direction to make the pie bigger. And that's how we all win at the end of the day. Yeah. We just keep carving up the small pie. It doesn't really feed anybody. Okay. And I got a lot of kids. So. Yeah.
So I got a couple questions that the people have asked.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So the very first,
we go easiest to hardest.
We're going to go with, I don't know if this is an easy question or not. It was the first question asked. It was the very first question.
All right.
Is from Garner, asking if you could FedEx him chocolate cake.
Oh, Garner. No, he doesn't deserve chocolate cake right now. Oh. So one day when he gets on my good side, maybe we'll talk about it.
Nice.
Maybe we'll talk about it. There's a delicious Italian chain down here in Chicago that I took him to last time he visited, and that's all he ever talks about. So, you know, deep inside, we know he's a fat kid like me.
So what you're saying is, if I go to Chicago, I can get a deep dish pizza, which...
Actually, you know, they had Portillo's. The name of the restaurant's Portillo's, and the key thing there is an Italian beef sandwich. And it's dipped in like an au jus with spicy peppers. It's you know, heart attack in a bun.
That's fine. And then there's chocolate cake as well. Yeah. Like I'm in.
And then there's
I'm
chocolate in. Cake just to I'm make in. Sure that you're full at the
All
end.
All right, cool. So when everything settles down, when the world stops ending, I might move to Chicago.
Yeah. Yeah. If you want to get fat, it's a great place to live.
I'm down. So yeah, he wanted chocolate cake. Maybe just to insult him, I'll send him via like Canada Post snail mail. I'll send him one of those like little Debbie brownies.
Perfect.
That'll end up like, it'll be half gone by the time it gets to him, because Canada Post will have ripped the package open for some reason. They've done
maybe even taken a bite.
Probably, right? There's probably a bite taken out. One person by the name of Jesse posted a photo of some pretty busted up first strikes and asked, now this isn't really a question I need you to answer. It's just something I want somebody to know, people to know. Is he said, is quality control improving? And then I asked, where did you get them? He said that he bought them from a store, and they had been sitting in the box in the case, like in their glass case. And when he got them, when he opened them up, they were all like the shells were cracked, the fins were broken off, that kind of thing. Scott Deason Quarles, I think is his last name. Basically, he stepped up and said, we haven't sold that color in ages, so we'll take care of you.
Anytime there's damage rounds, typically, it's hard, just like regular gelatin paintballs. You don't know how they were handled on the way to wherever they got. So if they were punted into the UPS truck, you know, they were punted into the UPS truck. So we try to make sure we make all that stuff right, obviously. So if you follow us or any of that stuff, anytime there's an issue, hit us up, hit customer support at firststrike.com, and we get you squared away.
Awesome. Steve McGuire is telling me that I have to ask about a chocolate cake shake.
It's also good.
Oh, my God. All right. So I'm just going to bring insulin to Chicago with me.
Yeah, I know what I'm having for lunch tomorrow, so now we're good.
Oh, damn it. Here's a question this just came in from Mike Merlot. He says, I play round ball only fields, as in like he plays at fields that are only round ball.
Yep.
Why should I go MagFed over Hopper? Are MagFed markers really more accurate?
No. I mean, they're not.
It's the first
know,
strikes that make the MagFed markers more accurate.
Yeah, it all depends on, again, we go back to the statement of MegFed players are looking for an experience
right.
versus consumption, right? And that's what MegFed guys are looking for. They want to carry magazines. They want to wear what they want to wear. They want to typically play with their buddies. They're playing similarly.
Yeah.
You know, and if you're looking for, again, it, from a, when you go from a experience from a consumption model, typically there's less paint in the air. It's a little bit easier to move around. You know, it's just a different experience, right? And that's, if you're playing in an open class game, certainly there's a lot of MagFed guys playing big open class, big games and use first strike rounds and certainly find an advantage over, being able to go up with a guy who has a Lux who can shoot 20 balls a second, but can't reach you. So it's all, you know, again, it's a niche of a niche of a niche. So it depends on the experience you're looking for.
Yeah,
you know, if you're looking for a limited loadout, MagFed's for you. You know, if you're looking to replicate what you do when you're playing Call of Duty, MagFed's for you. If you're looking for, you know, tournament paintball, there's nothing wrong with it. You know, the more the merrier.
I host a MagFed tournament.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, you can start combining them, you know. It's just all about, you know, you look at a T15, it's that's about the looks. You know, from a performance standpoint, it is not the most current technology. It's a very rugged mechanical product. You know, it's probably a little more complicated than it needs to be, but it's that way because it was designed from the ground up to shoot multiple caliber projectiles, right? You know, just like the airsoft gun, you can literally switch the uppers between paintball and airsoft. That's why it is the way it is.
Yep.
You know, and we like that. We like that it does something, you know, obviously it looks like an AR-15. That's cool. But it also does something that nothing else in the market does. And you know, it's hard for me to see anyone who wants to replicate that if you want a launcher that can go back and forth. So, again, it's a look and feel thing. You know, MagFed certainly isn't everyone's cup of tea. But I certainly see a lot of players switching who have been longtime tournament guys coming to play MagFed.
Yeah, I find it's MagFed. So to answer this question of like, are they accurate? It really all depends. It's like any other paintball marker. If you take a Tippmann 98 custom with a stock barrel and put it up against a T15 with, say, the Freak kit with round ball and round ball, the T15 will be more accurate. Just because it's going to have a better barrel and it's just a better marker. But overall,
and what I mean, what paintballs you're using, what barrel you're using, if you're bore matching, you know, that's all. Yeah, it all comes down to that.
MagFed truly is about look and feel. I find in MagFed play, you see a lot more players, I don't know, expressing themselves a little bit more through like almost cosplay-like, where speedball is been refined to the point where it's like you wear a jersey, you wear these pants, you wear this pod pack, you carry this many pods, you run this marker that hasn't changed its look since like 2005, and this hopper. And you're going to play the same way over and over again, and which I do enjoy playing speedball. It's just, it is very refined, whereas MagFed is more like a lawless wasteland on the field where you've got dudes in full-blown SWAT gear going up against dudes in, like, you know, a T-shirt, blue jeans, and then you got somebody else wearing, like, full-blown 21st century body armor, like Aztec. You know, like, it's just all that weird shit. And to take it even further, you've got companies like First Strike producing things like the Roscoe, which, as badass as this thing is, it is the most impractical paintball marker on the market as far as I'm concerned. But its badass factor is over the charts. Like, it's a six shooter. I'm going to get wrecked if I run this thing on the field. But am I going to feel like a badass the entire time? Absolutely.
Yep. You know? And when you actually shoot someone with it, you're going to feel even better.
Right, especially because I'm like practicing to try and do like the good, the bad, the good, the bad, and the ugly.
The good, the bad, and the ugly.
Yeah. I'm gonna develop a hell of a callus trying to pull that up. So that there's arguments. Apparently, Chicago's got nothing on New Orleans. I'm not starting that fight. I don't know enough about.
Jeez, I don't even know what that's about.
I don't know.
In terms of getting fat, yes. You can get fat in New Orleans too. I do know the food is good there. All right.
Cajun cooking.
Yeah. A lot of rice down there.
Yeah. Lots of rice, lots of booze.
Yeah.
So, another question Tyler asked, is there any chance that First Strike will be running another Golden FSR contest again?
Ironically, we've been talking about that. It will be a little bit different. You know, we were toying with, you know, I think we posted our final winner finally came to light a couple weeks ago. We posted, you know, who's interested in this, what else, what other kind of free product, golden ticket promotion, if it's not with First Strike. So we're toying with a couple different products to see if there's anything in there that would pique guys' interest that we haven't done already. But it was a great promo. You know, I think everyone enjoyed, you know, getting the free patch and doing that whole thing and getting a chance. And I'm sure the winners are extremely happy. So, but yeah, it is something we're thinking about doing again, for sure, probably in the near future.
Cool. Awesome. I always thought that was really neat. Very, very, very Willy Wonka of you.
Yeah. Yeah. We try to do things a little, I mean, you say we're emulating something that's already been out there, but you know, no one in paintball has really done anything like that. So we thought it was going to be a cool, cool thing to try.
No, it really is a cool thing. It's Willy Wonka is one of my favorite movies. So when I seen like the Golden First Strike, I just imagined dudes in decked out in Meg figure skipping down the road being like, I got a golden FSR. You know what I mean? Like, so, and yeah. I'm really sad that nobody recorded a video of that. Wolf just jumped into the chat. He's asking, is there any more advancements with the First Strike rounds and certain insurance companies who shall not be named?
Well,
yeah, it can be. I don't care. I don't know. Insurance company?
It's a really weird topic because as of today, there is no difference between a standard gelatin paintball and a First Strike round in terms of ASTM. They are lumped in the same category. They have to meet the same standard. So, you know, you have a couple guys that are still holding back, but from a legal standpoint, there's no difference. And that's where it comes down to the player, you know, where we need the support from the players to explain to some of these field owners. And we jump on the horn with these guys when we find the situations and try to help them. But from a legal standpoint, from a risk standpoint, there's no difference. So even from a attorney's eyes, you know, there is no distinguishable. Yeah, they do look the same. But in ASTM, where they're going to look if there's ever any injury or damage, they're indistinguishable. They're in the same category. So it is, we're still battling a little bit of bad information. You know, I don't know if there's any vendettas left or anything like that. But, you know, it's hard. It's frustrating because, you know, we keep selling rounds and we keep never having any injuries. And I don't. You know, you got some people that are frustrating and, you know, we continue to sell more and we flip fields as we go. And, you know, every time one arises, we work on, you know, helping educate them and make them feel comfortable with selling the product or offering the product. A lot of times what will happen is we get them to use it at a big game and they realize there was no issues whatsoever. And then that slowly transitions into, you know, anyone and everyone can play. Now, do I recommend that you allow it one guy to run out there with a bunch of rental guys? No, I don't think that's a good idea, but it's the same argument that I would tell you, I wouldn't put a tournament guy out there with a bunch of rental players, right?
Absolutely.
We need to guarantee those rental players have a good experience so that they want to come back and play. So, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, fields using their best judgment and allowing this stuff when it makes sense and going from there.
Yeah, it's basically, as far as I understand, it's all up to the fields now. And folks, if your local field, it won't let you use First Strikes, don't like try and shame them or anything like that. Just try and politely educate. And if they stand their ground and they say, no, I'm not going to do it, well, at the end of the day, it's their field and you don't have to play there or, you know,
Yeah. Yeah. And what we do, I mean, the best thing we can do is get them in contact with other field owners that were in the same position and let them talk it out and go, you know, we're worried about this. And they'll explain, hey, we were worried about the same thing and we've moved on. And it's been a great addition to our business and a whole nother market of players that come here that didn't come here before.
Absolutely. Wolf says you need a first strike lobbyist. That'd be cool.
Sure. Sure.
That'd be cool. That sounds like something that's just going to be given to somebody else. Like,
yeah,
that's a great job. We'll hey, Ben, you're now the first strike lobbyist.
Like, anyone wants to help with that pro bono, I'm in.
Yeah, exactly. I'm in. Right. Who wants to be the unpaid intern working for some sort of credit?
Yeah.
So let's get these questions out of the way now.
All right.
I have people asking about the drum mag.
Yep. Yep. Yep.
It does exist.
What do you want to know? It does exist. I mean, there's been some videos that we've posted working through testing.
Yeah. It does exist.
You know, it does exist. It's still on the schedule to be released. Obviously, it's a little more delayed than we expected it to be, but at the same time, it's been internally from a corporate standpoint de-emphasized and pushed to the back burner as there's other projects between under our corporate umbrella UTS. We have First Strike and we also have the Pepperball products, which is your police and law enforcement, prison, riot control type equipment. Obviously, there's some need out there that product development priority has shifted a little bit. You know, I would hope that everyone still recognizes that we are still sending out lots of new products for the size of the company we are. We're pretty proud of how many new products we get to the market. But based on where the drum mag is and how long it's taken us, we know it needs to be absolutely perfect when it hits the market, and it's inching to the finish line now. So that's good.
Rather you delay it and make it work. Like, don't release something and then 6 months later be like, this is Gen 2 where we've worked out all the issues from the first one. Don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? So, you know what? We're trying to do something that's never been done before, and no one's really been able to do it effectively, which is bring out a loader that can load multiple styles of rounds, right? It's going to be cross-compatible between the Pepperball product, which has a longer VXR round, as well as the First Strike round. Have adaptable feed necks, so it can be used in multiple guns. And that's it's a big moving target, unfortunately. And, you know, that's what we've been working through. So, you know, it is what it is at this point. You know, we're proud to where it's gotten at this point. And, you know, again, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it. And I don't see another one out in the marketplace. So, you know, it is what it is at this point. We're still excited about it. I know the end users are still excited about it. You know, we still get daily emails about it. We don't recommend you send us emails daily. It certainly bogs us down and slows us down from doing everything else. But, you know, it'll get here in due time, unfortunately.
When it's done, it's
but
done.
When it's done, it's done.
Right.
You know, we're trying to work in some new features to it now so that it's even more exciting that we had to wait this long for it. So
awesome. If you need somebody, say, like, who lives in a cold country to test it, you let me know. I know.
All right. We got a bunch of Swedes. We're good. We're good.
Oh, no, all right. All right. I see how it is. speaking of the pepper balls and stuff, somebody was actually asking, like, how big is your law enforcement and less than lethal and like riot control stuff? Like, is that how big is that compared to paintball? I'm assuming it's probably a fair difference, but like,
on a global scale, if you were to look at the market size, that world is much larger than paintball.
Absolutely.
Right. But it's a weird market. You know, it has a lot of long lead times, very lumpy in sales. You know, this year happens to be a decent year for business. We sit back on our laurels and understand, hey, this is a product that helps save lives at the end of the day, right? It's the other option is a firearm, and that's not necessarily good in these situations. So at least there's something out there that we can provide to our law enforcement guys and militaries and countries that can have something that isn't a lethal option, right? And, you know, right.
So one of the other questions, part of that question too, is they said they see the whole thing online, and you see it sometimes people post it on Facebook, like, hey, paintball spotted, and you see a riot control officer with some form of paintball equipment or what looks like a piece of paintball equipment. The equipment that you sell for this side, is it different than what you sell in the paintball world? Like, would you, if let's say, I don't know, I don't know. All
some,
I've ever
some of the products are, some of them aren't. You know, obviously we sell a rifle called the VXR, which has variable velocity. So you can easily switch between the VXR round, which is the pepper ball shaped projectile, and a round ball so you can adjust that velocity quickly. So you're not trying to shoot a paintball at a higher velocity and not have it be accurate. The TCP, which is the FSC pistol variant, slightly different regulator in there. We can get a little bit higher velocities out of that product. But all in all, generally pretty similar. The magazines, of course, are different because of the VXR round being a longer round than the first strike round.
Okay.
There is some that's close. It really depends on the price point. It depends on what you need the tool to do. For some smaller towns, they don't want to invest heavily in a VKS style product, and they just want to have something that they can have a unit or two in their local jurisdiction. So,
right. The town with 200 people doesn't need full blown riot gear.
Right. Right.
Okay. Another question popped in. Do you think it hurts paintball as a sport with officers using it? I'm going to say no. I don't think it does.
I don't. I mean, I don't think they correspond very much. It's two pretty unique product lines. And, you know, again, to repeat what I said, you know, I think we can provide a tool that is the least lethal product out there. You know, right. When we look at some of our competitors like Taser, you know, that's not as less lethal as our product, unfortunately. So we can go, you know, at least we're offering something that is another solution in the duty belt that can be used when the situation arises.
Right. So. I'd always like to point out that I would say 99% of the people who notice paintball equipment or something similar to paintball equipment being used by an officer is already a paintballer. That's why they recognize
it. Was already a paintball guy. Yeah.
You know?
Yep.
Otherwise, I don't think it actually registers with people. I don't think anyone who's not involved in paintball, I don't think they actually see it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm not too worried about it. I'm really not.
Yeah. Yeah.
It is
good technology though. The pepper ball did bring the technology behind pepper balls is what got us the first strike round.
There
so,
you go.
You know, that we all have to be happy about that.
Yeah. Any new FSR colors coming out? Paul wants to know if there's any new FSR colors.
No, I think we're good right now. We got quite a bit of them, and we don't want to really expand much more from what we got. You know, it's a good wide variety, and we can do, you know, obviously for some events, people will ask for special combinations and that we'll go that route, but I don't, it takes a lot of, as dumb as colors are, it takes a lot of R&D time, because of the chemistry in the different colors and, you know, the, how they melt, how they weld, how they do all that stuff. So it every time I ask for a new color, my engineers look at me like I have three heads and tell me to go jump off a bridge. So I'm going to try not to do that to them for at least another year, and then we'll go from there.
Good call. Good call. So I'm just looking at my camera, and I noticed that my everything is just super washed out. So I'm trying to...
A little bit.
Oop, that's less... There we go. There we're done. There we go. Ah, now the first strikes look colorful.
Yeah, there you go.
Before they were a little muted. My beard is also a proper color now. Okay. Yeah. Okay, let's move on from those questions. I want to talk about, for anyone who doesn't know, if you don't know, you've been living under a friggin' rock, the new First Strike paintballs.
Yeah.
Yeah. So talk about those. Where did they come from? Why are they here? What are they for?
You know,
what do they taste like?
Paintballs, you know, it's been something on the back burner for us for quite a while. You know, through the years, we've continued to get more and more of our retail partners and distribution partners asking if it's something that we could help them with. You know, and it really came to a head last year. Scott and I went out and played, and we used some gelatin paintballs, and they were just absolutely terrible. And we, you know, listening to our partners beg and ask and tell us about how bad paint was, and you know, how everyone's trying to chase the cheap paintball. And we thought, you know, again, most of our product line isn't the cheapest product out there. And we thought, you know what, let's give it a shot. And we'll tell everyone up front that these aren't the cheapest paintballs out there. You know, that's not what we're focused on. Our focus is always, let's make sure our players have the best experience possible, so they want to play more. And that's kind of the mindset we had when we went into getting these paintballs developed, was let's put a good quality ball in there. Let's make sure it's round. Let's make sure it has a great shelf life. Let's make sure it breaks on target every time. And, you know, people are going to have to pay a premium for that. But I think the market, especially now, after using some very bad product out there, some aging product, they're begging for a little bit higher quality product. And then we're not talking, you know, we will talk US dollars, so I don't know how the translation, but we're not talking, you know, $90 box of paintballs. We're talking, you know, $45 and $60. You know, so we think there's some opportunity there. Again, we're going to stick our toe in the water and see what it's like. And so far, so good. You know, the product literally is showing up to our building. You know, we got some early samples out to some of our video guys and some of our pro staff guys to start testing with it. All signs point that it should be a great product line for us. Dealers are coming out of the woodwork to ask us about how they can get some. So, you know, again, it's not something we're going to get rich off of. That was never the purpose. This is just basically addressing some of our strategic partners' needs, and it's something we're gonna give it a shot.
Yeah, I'm super pumped to test it. I'm
yep.
Getting my hands on a little bit of it.
And, yeah, obviously it you know we made sure it works for all MagFed product, but this is an open class paintball. You know, it can be used in anything out there. So, you know, it's going to help us a little bit from an advertising standpoint, where it's going to make us more of a household name, which doesn't hurt by any means. You know, it should be an interesting addition to our product line.
I think it's a great idea, and it's made for MagFed, right? Like
it's not necessarily. It works for MagFed. It's made for everybody.
Okay.
Yep.
So it'll handle mags, but it can be, but it'll work fine.
Yep.
Christopher Struck is, are you going to make a tournament grade ball? One of them is advertised as tournament grade, is it not?
Yeah, it is. It's a premium grade paintball. It's not going to have your, call it a, you know, ultra evil fill, you know, a staining super thick fill. But it's going to have your graffiti level, premium round. It's certainly something we could do at this point. I don't know it's not worth our shelf space to have something that's going to sit around for a while and slowly move. We want some quick moving stuff. Because we want to keep the fresh paint on the shelves the best we can.
Is there plans to make 50 cal paint, like 50 cal paintballs?
Obviously, with the Roscoe and some other projects that we're working on, there could be 50 cal in the future. We got to kind of watch again. The Roscoe's the first 50 cal product in our portfolio, so we got to see how sales work on that. See if it's justifiable. Obviously we have the 50 cal first strike rounds. We've now had the 50 cal USP rounds that are powder filled. I think in the short order, you're going to see a 50 cal, paint filled round. That's a USP round. And then the gelatin piece is something we can certainly tackle.
Cool. I mean, yeah, like you said, the only thing you guys really have that's 50 cal right now is the Roscoe, which from what I can tell, people seem to want it. Like I've posted a couple photos of the one I have in my hands, and people keep talking about, oh, I'm still on the pre-order list, which I feel for you. Is I have to give this one back, so I don't feel that bad for you.
it's done well so far. We tiptoe into these new products, especially if they're well outside of our normal product line.
Right.
But we saw the opportunity. We saw some of the shortcomings of some of the other product in the marketplace, and we understand, you know, our consumer, and we talk about the MagFed consumer all the time, but the modularity piece is pretty important. And, you know, we wanted to make sure that when we brought a product out, it has the ability to be modular. And the Roscoe certainly has that as well.
Right. Okay. We're at the 45-minute mark. So I need...
Oh, wow.
That was fast. Right? Time flies when you're having fun, man. So I need to pay the bills. So I need you to bear with me for like, I'm not sure how long. A couple minutes.
Got it.
I'm mostly talking to the people who are going to sit there and listen to me spiel off the same thing I spiel off every week. I need you to sit tight and let me do my thing and buy this shit so that the sponsors will keep telling me to do this. That's what I need to happen. Okay. So yeah, let's pay some bills. So let's talk about some sponsors. Let's talk about PB Swag Bag. Great company. They send out some cool paintball gear to you once a month in a bright blue bag, which I will have another one in my hands very, very soon. So they send you cool paintball gear every month. Go on over to pbswagbag.com. If you use the code MPP10, you can score 10% off and you can get cool shit like the hat I'm wearing and a bunch of other cool paintball stuff that is currently over to my right. People asking me if it's worth it. I think it is. I really do. So I fully support it. Artful Dodger, beard oil. He's a local, beard and tattoo guy that makes the sweet, sweet beard oils and beard balms that make this beard look as lush as possible. So Artful Dodger beardoil.com. I don't have a code for you cause he's just a small time operation. So please check him out. He will ship anywhere. So if you need some really nice beard product, even if you have a little beard, keep that thing moisturized, keep the skin underneath it nice and from going dry, and it will be well worth it. DEFCON Paintball Gear, great company. They've been supporting the podcast for a bit now, and they have pretty much everything you need paintball-wise, including a supply drop, which we're going to talk about in a minute. Head on over to DEFCONPaintballGear.com. I didn't transition that over. There we go. Head on over to DEFCONPaintballGear.com. You could save 10% using the code Maritimes and get some cool paintball stuff. Whatever you need. Pretty much everything. Some stuff you can't, but most of it you can get 10% off. So go check them out. Tier 1 Armament, one of the longest sponsors of the show. They've been around for ages with me. They are your MCS folks. They are airsoft. They are some weird soft goods and sometimes coffee. Check them out. They've been longtime supporters of the show. So tier1armamentstore.com. Great guys. Great company. And of course the MVPs, the Patreon supporters, Matt, Tim, Dr. Rush, Jeffrey, Ryan, Alex, and Tony. These fine individuals have volunteered a little bit of cash every month to help keep the lights on. And it really does help. If you're in the position to become a Patreon supporter and you want to, head on over to patreon.com/maritimepaintballpodcast. Where you can donate as little as a dollar a month and it truly does help. And you get your name on a fancy list, which gets read out nearly every week. And who doesn't want that, right? So, yeah, big help to them. Big shout out to the Patreon supporters and all the sponsors and all that. Now, one more thing we got to talk about. We're going to do a refresher because I did this earlier in the week and I may not have been supposed to. So I may have broke a rule. So we're going to hope Garner doesn't notice. And I'm going to do a DEF CON opening. So for those who don't know, DEF CON supply drop. Boom. Get this cool box sent to your house with some cool stuff in it. This one actually came in this box. Everybody's getting a giant box this week. Huge. It's massive. This one's empty. And in it is some very cool stuff. Let's breeze through the stuff that's in the little box because it's what's in the big box that is super important. So when you crack this thing open, the first thing you are met with is very, very cool set of Planet Eclipse Allen keys. These are round head or round tip Allen keys. And it's just a really nice set. These actually work on all of my gear, which is fantastic. A barrel made, which you can never have too many of. I love getting these. I know some people are like, oh, I already have a barrel made. You need more. You really do. How many times do you have to throw one of these to your buddies or it gets in the mud and you need another one? And, you know, but yeah, definitely, definitely like it. Definitely worth it. That was a lot louder than I meant it to be. Give me a second. I have to unwrap the tarp. It's a Planet Eclipse poncho, and it's reusable, and it's this beautiful bright green color. So this was sent, cool. So this is really neat that DEF CON sent this our way, or sent this out to all of us. So if you're ever out playing and you don't want to get super, super wet, throw on a sweet poncho. Or if you're a photographer, throw on a sweet poncho, and it's totally worth it. Now, last and certainly not least, the by far the coolest thing that was shipped out. This there it is. This
hey,
so everybody got tech mats, not necessarily First Strike, only the ones that Garner liked. That's a lie. It's pretty much random, but yeah, everybody's getting tech mats. So if you're lucky enough, you get this beautiful, I don't know what this is made of. Silicone, rubber, PVC. I don't know what this stuff is. I think it's silicone. But it's so cool. It's all textured and stuff. It's got little spots. And this is a really cool idea, and everyone needs to implement this, is that O-ring sizer on the side there. I love that. That is amazing. Some folks got First Strike. Some folks are getting Planet Eclipse. And some folks are getting Exalt, I think. I forget. But yeah, so this is huge, and it's amazing, and it's super heavy duty, and I love it. And it fits on my table, and it's perfect. So that's in the DEF CON supply drop for September. So head on over to DEFCONPaintballgear.com, use the code Maritimes, M-A-R-I-T-I-M-E-S. You can get 10% off your box and get some cool stuff sent out. Also, I may have found out, and I don't know exactly what it is, but I do know that I think next month and December, I think for November and December, one lucky winner is going to get something very cool shipped to them in their DEF CON box. I don't know what it is, but I've been told that it's like a mega box or like an elite box. I don't know. We can't think of a really cool word to use, but it's like a special. One person is going to get some really awesome stuff in their DEF CON box. So if you aren't signed up, sign up for November. And no, I honestly, Christopher Strzok says he knows. I don't know. I don't know what's in it. I just know that one lucky person is going to get something really, really cool in their DEF CON box. So head on over to DEFCONPaintballgear.com. Sign up for the monthly supply drop. and maybe you'll be the lucky one, and maybe you'll get this really badass item, whatever it is that it's going to be, because they won't tell me what it is. So hopefully we find out, and then hopefully we will find out. Hopefully you win it, and then you'll tell me what it is, and then I will tell the world what it was, and everybody will be happy. But yeah, that's it. That's all I got. Woo! There, the bills have been paid.
That's it? You sure?
The Roscoe. The review is coming. I've been fondling this thing since I got it. Like, playing with it, touching it, opening it, closing it. It's just so fun. I took it out to a field so I could shoot it. And I basically had to fight people with sticks, like, to get them away from me. They're like, can I touch it? I'm like, no, you can't touch the Roscoe. They're like, can I shoot it? No. One guy asked me to sell it to him. I was like, you would find me in a shallow grave if I sold this thing. And then another person said, well, what if I just took it? I said, then I'd take your kneecaps. Like, there's like this thing, like, you can't take it from me. But people have been asking what I think of the Roscoe, and it is phenomenal. I can't wait to do the review. This is going to be a really, really fun review. I'm going to go get like an old rug and cut a hole in it and do like the dirt, like the Clint Eastwood poncho and the hat. Yeah. So.
Perfect. Perfect. No, and accessories are starting to ship now. So we have new cylinders that are, accessory cylinders. We've got the constant air adapter. So if you want to run high pressure air into it, you're going to be able to do that. If you don't want to switch CO or 12 grams, we've got, the higher velocity valve as well. So you can replace that and drop that in, and away you go.
Yeah, that was one thing I noticed when firing, because I have the Umarex TR50, was that the Roscoe is so much more quiet. I found it was way more quiet. I don't know if that is just the way it's designed. I don't know if it's the length of the barrel or what, but I found it was way more quiet than the Umarex, which I really liked. Also that trigger pull, like that double, like that, when you cock that back and you just got, so much fun.
Yeah.
There.
No, it was a cool product that we kept under our hats for a while as we were working through that, and kind of caught everyone, in February off guard when we showed it at PBE. They're like, wait, what, you're doing what now?
Like, everyone was losing their minds over the Umarex, right? They're like, it's a revolver, it's awesome. And then it was cool, and I got one, and I like it. And then the Roscoe came out, and I was just like, I like the Roscoe.
But again, we recognize the modularity piece, right? And I'm still waiting on my pearl handle sample, so we can offer aftermarket grips and all sorts of cool stuff like that. So we're pretty excited, right? Again, it's all about customizing at this point.
Oh, mother of pearl, like, ooh.
Right. Wood grain grips. We're looking at all that stuff right now. Obviously, getting the gun to market was the most important piece.
Absolutely.
But then now we can start filling that aftermarket piece shortly thereafter. So if there's aftermarket stuff you guys want to see, don't be afraid to send us a message and say, hey, I really love something like, X.
Yeah.
Like,
what if there was a magazine, but instead of being round, it was more rounded and almost drum shaped. Okay. One more, there was questions about the, 1545.
We finally have movement on that. So we were waiting on the DOT to approve the ISO certification. So that's where we were stuck. And unfortunately with the government, you're at their mercy. And over the last 7 months now, they had some other stuff they were working on. And this finally came to, got the approval last month, and production has begun.
Awesome.
Yeah. Awesome. So all those guys that have pre-orders have been sticking with us and haven't canceled those pre-orders. We appreciate that. But we should start to see those late Q3, early Q4.
Oh, wow. Just in time for Christmas.
Just in time for Christmas.
Sweet.
Yep.
Any talks of doing, and I don't even know if it's possible. I mean, it must be, but like a 1345?
You wouldn't really want to go smaller, I don't think. You know, again, you do get it for MagFed, you get quite a few more shots, but if for this application to be used in anything else, it doesn't make sense to go smaller. We'll see, you know, we'll get the product to market, and you know, if there's enough demand out there, you know, we're certainly ones to listen to what guys want, and we'll go from there. We'll go from there.
Awesome. And lastly, Chad, he asked a question. It was an interesting thing. He asked about he wanted to know your thoughts on a sort of like rental program / like sponsoring 3v3 events. So the way he explained it was, he was thinking more like, what are your thoughts on First Strike hosting an event or sending down equipment that can be used for players to play, say, 3v3 tournament, so that every player is using the same equipment, not necessarily sending down like 60 markers, but just enough for each team to play. That way everybody's using First Strike stuff.
We've toyed with that stuff. And honestly, our challenge isn't the product. It's the bandwidth for our personnel. You know, literally, you've got myself, you've got Scott Quarles, who's the product development guy. You've got Mark Ayers, who is our main sales guy. And we've got, you know, our tech support guy. And that's really our bandwidth from being able to go out and support events. And, you know, I'm three of us are married, you know, and, you know, my wife, surprisingly this year, hasn't murdered me because now I'm home too much. But before, usually I'm on the road all the time, and it just becomes a challenge, you know. By the time we go to the major MagFed games, you know, Scott and I and James have all been at a lot of these games, whether it's in Canada or the U.S., you know, Fold a Gap and the games at EMR and out west. So it's not a matter of, we would love to do all this type of stuff. And we've talked with some of the game organizers on how we could do more of a spectator-friendly MagFed game that happens inside some of these big games, that, you know, when guys are hanging out in the parking lot or taking a break, they have something to watch. You know, more of a tournament-esque style from a being able to view. But it's not something that internally we can take on from a support standpoint. I mean, we can certainly support it with product. That's not a challenge, but if from a personnel standpoint, we just don't have the bandwidth, unfortunately.
Right, and I'm guessing you wouldn't want to send markers out and hope they come back.
No, we've certainly sent markers out. We have loaner boxes of T15s that are, you know, four T15s at a time that we ship all over the country all the time and take with us for demos. You know, but obviously, depending on how big the game is, how many guns you need for backup, it becomes a real logistical challenge. And making sure you have all the product, and, you know, again, the personnel is the biggest challenge to all that. You know, cause you got to have a guy that knows how to clean everything and make sure if there's something goes down, it can replace O-rings quickly. And that becomes a nightmare in and of itself.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
That totally makes sense.
Certainly. We've toyed with a lot of different, you know, working with the game promoters and the game writers of how we could help, right? And maybe make a more interactive experience for people who don't have their own equipment, you know. And you know, I think the Roscoe could be one of those products that we could send a fleet of those down somewhere and have an all-pistol three-man or something along that line that, you know, is just entertaining to watch. That isn't necessarily inside the gameplay, but is you know, more inviting as a paintball festival.
Right. Yeah,
paintball needs a Lollapalooza. That's why I've been championing that whole thing for a long time now, and I think that would be the next major thing where all paintball styles of play can come together, and there's a lot of loaner product, and people can play and try things out that they wouldn't normally try out. It's getting the tournament guys on board is very challenging.
I imagine, yeah. Like I've always wanted to see, like a full blown, like just how do I word it? Like living legends, but not held back.
Like, yeah, it always comes back to logistics, right? I mean, that's the hardest part. And for us, the game that used to be like that was, oh man, now people are going to kill me for not remembering it, but is the game that used to be in Pennsylvania, Zap International, IAO International. And that was, had a little tournament paintball, usually had a trade show. It had a big game going on at the same time. And that was the PBE tournament, World Cup, big game all rolled into one. And,
right.
And you know, it was a pretty cool event. And it just, those markets kind of split off, and it's an event that I think the industry, misses dearly.
Yep.
Cause you know, Magpie World Cup is the next biggest one that guys like me would go to show off new product, but it doesn't make any sense for me to go to that game because there's no Magpie guys there. And, you know, sure, there might be a couple international dealers here and there, but it just doesn't, it's not a good fit for me. And PBE has been challenging. And, you know, I think getting in front of new users is the important part. So how do you go about that? Right. And I think that festival feel would be the right mindset if you move that around the country.
Sure. For sure. Yeah. Yeah. If you held a big 2-day event, you know, and just had a good time, that'd be the way to do it. So we're at the hour now. One last question, what is something, and feel free to be as brutally honest as you want. What is something it seems that a lot of paintballers don't seem to understand that you wish they did?
Probably lately, patience. Patience is, you know, especially for new players who are jumping in and buying maybe platforms. You know, the one thing a lot of us older paintball guys have is growing through the pains of starting with a Spider and moving to a Tippmann and then going to, you know, an electro-pneumatic gun and understanding the steps along the way of how things work and how to fix things and how to maintain your things. You know, new players, and God bless them, I love them all. They jump right in and they don't have that knowledge and they get agitated when they can't figure it out. Now, fortunately, I think from a MagFed community, it's very inclusive and supportive. I don't know about the social media scene. I think social media in general is terrible anymore, but you know, face to face, MagFed guys are great to each other and are more than willing to help and teach and show. And that's probably the most important piece is, you know, I certainly patience would help. And being in a community, you know, cause we get the phone calls. Yeah, hey man, what the hell? This isn't working. And we go, did you read the manual? And they're like, well, no, I don't need to read the manual. They're like, well, did you cock the gun before you put the air in? Well, no. Well, there you go. Right. And you get the guys.
That solves 90% of T15 problems.
Right. And you know, did you watch on how to reset your recock? We still go back to when guys are shooting regular paintballs. Did you bore size your paint? And they look at you like you asked to have their first born. Right. And it's just that there's some of that basic information that you learn as you come up that isn't been learned because people are jumping in. People are desperately looking for activities right now.
Yep.
And they have money to go jump in, not at the entry price point. They're jumping in at the mid price point and up. So you're getting guys fast tracking in. That would be my main thing. You know, I'll go with, you know, I watch a lot of Donut Media, and the one guy's always just says, be kind, right? You know, I think there's too much animosity out there, especially with what's all that's going on. The things people get mad about are pretty ridiculous lately, and they just don't need to be as upset as they are about things. So be kind to one another and be patient. That's all I ever want. And bring a friend to play. That's the trifecta of growing paintball.
We saw some pretty awesome stuff. So last weekend I hosted a 3v3 MegFed tournament, and I had a team enter. Two of them had played paintball twice. One of them, it was his first time playing paintball. So I just dumped my gear bag and was like, boom. I'm like, all right, I've got 3 MegFed markers. Who wants what? And then I had to go take care of the actual event. So I looked at one of my buddies and I was like, Jason, can you just set these guys up with my gear? And he's like, yeah, no problem. Like, and just jumps in. Doesn't even, you know what I mean? Like, he's like, whatever, let's get this working. So,
yeah, and that's the good part about MegFed guys is they're also collectors. Right, they typically roll into the field with 5 or 6 guns, and you know they're more than willing. You know, guys like Kusha out on the West Coast, you know, he brings a fleet of guns and invites anyone and everyone who wants to play MegFed. It's just as important as all the other things that we're doing. You know, that goes a long way. When a kid comes to the paintball field and someone says, "Here, go try this," you know, that makes a lasting impression. And, you know, it's all important.
Yep. Oh, what's this? Here's the Maximilian. But, here's the man.
Uh-oh.
I don't know.
I've seen Max in a while.
Uh-huh.
And which Maximilian?
Hans.
Oh. There's a guy.
Okay. Yeah. So we're at 1 hour, 10 minutes. I think we'll call it there. Got to leave them wanting more, right? That's what they always say. So
yeah,
man, it was an absolute blast having you on. Thank you so much for coming on.
Good.
And
no problem.
And
no problem anytime.
Answering a couple of questions and some stuff. Yeah. Well, I'll get you back on when the drum bag finally is done, you know, like,
I'm sure I'll end up doing a world tour on that whole thing.
Yeah,
so.
Probably.
I'll make Scott do that one.
I'm looking forward to the people who are going to get it in their hands and be like, I don't like the way it looks. You know what I mean? Like, they're just going to, because it's going to be hilarious. So, yeah, thanks for coming on. Thanks for answering some questions for the fine folks out there and for putting up with people asking about the drum bag. Because I'm sure...
part of the territory.
So, yeah, it was absolutely fantastic. And, I don't know. I guess like everyone knows where to find First Strike stuff. Normally this is the part of the show where I'd be like, so where can people find more information? Well, everyone knows. You just go to First Strike. So
yeah, go to our Facebook page, Instagram, our website. You know, products are a little lean right now. And we actually are making sure our dealers have product before our own website. So, you know, go to any of our major retailers.
There you go.
Up in Canada, you got DEFCON and Badlands and yep.
That's a really good point to make is like everyone out there who's freaking out over like not getting their product. Please remember that the world is actually like slowly ending outside of your house. Like people fail to understand how badly shit hit the fan in other parts of the world, especially here in Canada, Canadians, like we did not take a big hit like the rest of the world. And a lot of Canadians are just like, I don't understand why this, that, and the other thing. And it's like, dude, like you have no idea how bad it really is. Here in where I live in the province of New Brunswick, they're freaking out because there are 2 confirmed cases in the entire province. The province has a population of 700,000 people. We have 2 confirmed cases and they're freaking the hell out. Like that's how detached. So people, please calm down, relax. You will eventually get your Roscoe.
Yeah, there you go. Like there you go. Back.
It
Back.
Will happen. It will happen.
Hashtag soon.
Hashtag soon. Speaking of hashtag soon, keep an eye on my YouTube channel. Keep on YouTube.com, something, something, Maritime Paintball Podcast, where the review will be coming out for the DEF CON box. I'll go into an in-depth review on that, as well as on the Roscoe, as well as a couple other items that'll be coming my way fairly soon that I don't actually know what they are, but I've been told items are coming. So we'll see what those are. But that's it. I'm done. I'm out of here. Ben, again, thank you so much for coming on and chatting about all sorts of
Fortnite stuff. Thanks for having me.
Stuff.
Yep.
And,
anytime.
Yeah, we'll get you back on eventually one of these days. And
sounds good.
Yeah, that's it. I'm out of here. So, you know, for everyone who stuck around chatting and chilling out with us, I appreciate it. And, yeah, until next week. Cheers.